Thank you for singing that beautiful song. There's a lady here who lost her husband Father's Day. He'd been sick for a long time. They'd been married a long, long time. And she'll enjoy that song knowing where he is this morning. I had a wife pass away. I had one run away, for instance. But I had one pass away. A little old man came to me while I was down to altar trying to get myself together. I just felt a little old bony hand on my shoulder, and I didn't look. I knew who it was. And he said, "Preacher, ain't nothing lost if you know where it is." And I said, "I'll remember that the rest of my life. Nothing lost if you know where it is." So that was good, and I'm glad my wife requested that song. I'm sure it was you who did that. It wasn't. It was somebody else. That's one of your favorites, isn't it? Someone came this morning. They had to leave early. That's excuse 18, isn't it? I got to leave early. And they're good folks from Raleigh. And they brought several Bibles today, just three. You're welcome to take one. And next week, they're bringing a bunch of them. They said that they'd bring a box of them. So if you don't have a Bible, and this is a New International Version, which is very easy to read. And if you don't have one, you feel free to take one. And if we run out, we'll feel free to buy you one, whatever. And we'll get you one. We're glad to see Linda back. I was going to ask you to say a few more words. That's the shortest you ever. I know that. So Linda ain't got one leg. Maybe you can keep up with her now. It'll be hard, but you can try. We've got good news from Frankie and Bradley. Frankie's letter we've got, his mother wrote, said, "This is really cute." Frankie laughed all the way through it. Boys got their package and love the markers that we sent them. Bradley loves the Nemo, the fish we sent him. It goes in the bathtub. But he said it was Nemo's cousin. I have no idea where he got that from. He plays with it all day long. So the doctors are trying to figure out what happened to Frankie. He's using the Toby. I don't know what that is, but the doctor said that Toby would have not made that much difference. He's puzzled by the improvement. I said, "It's the power of prayer." The doctor said, "Yeah, I pray for you, Frankie, every Friday night. We are Jewish in belief, and we pray on Friday. And the only time that we can pray for anyone else is when they're sick. Other than sickness, you can't pray for another person." Don't say that to Frankie. Frankie said, "I don't know who you pray to or who your God is, but my God knows every time I breathe, and I pray all the time, 7 days a week." His lung function's up to 98. For the past 4 years, it's only been 70%. The doctor said it could never rebuild itself, and 70 was the most he'd ever get. The doctor asked me what I was doing different. I said, "Praying to a God who hears all the time." Oh, me. Them kids will start a war everywhere they go. They said the only thing different is Toby. Toby's $1,200 for 29 treatments. Frankie spoke up and said, "Our God died on the cross and rose again third day for everyone's sins to be covered in the blood." He said to the doctor, "What'd your God do?" The doctor hugged Frankie and said, "Boy, I love you." And he never gave Frankie an answer. So we're praising the Lord for touching Frankie. Share the touch with the church. I know they'll be just as happy. Frankie was being put in the hospital a week later, and his tests are the best they've ever been in 4 years. So let's all praise the Lord for his great and mighty works. Amen. So who knows? Who knows? Maybe Frank, you'll lead this doctor to the Lord also. Gotta go. Love and miss y'all. Sylvia. And it was a good thing. Little Frankie, anybody here don't know who Frankie is? Frankie's our little boy from Winston-Salem. He's Bradley's brother. Bradley is the one with no arms and no legs. And his Frankie has everything. What's he got? Cystic fibrosis, liver disease, curved esophagus. And on and on, and only weighs, 55 pounds, and he's, what is he weight now? His weight's 63 pounds, 14 years old, and plays the piano beautifully, and his doctor previous to this, another good Jewish man, was talking to Frankie and was going to operate on him. And Frankie asked him, said, "You're not going to pray with me before we operate?" And the guy said, "I can't do that, Frankie," and left the room. And his tears were in his eyes. And somebody else came in, and the doctor came back and said, "I'll pray with you now, Frankie. I got somebody to pray to." The next week he came in and said, "Frankie, I'll pray with you now. I got somebody to pray to this week. I went to church, and now I know what you know." And that little boy, and he's a Jewish doctor, an exceedingly brilliant man. But the good Jewish people, where if they weren't for the Jewish people, we wouldn't have a Savior. Don't ever forget that. And you pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You pray for the Jewish people. We are looking for the same Messiah. They just missed him the first time. And they one day will be your brothers, and you'll get to see them and be with them. Don't think that. Don't think that God has given up on the Jewish people. I love the Lovett letter. It comes out of Texas. He's a former rabbi, and now he's a wonderful Christian preacher. And he said, "I don't understand." He said, "I got a letter from a Muslim the other day, or saw a write-up that Jesus was a Muslim." He said, "I don't understand it. He started out a Jew, then they got him to a Gentile, now they got him to a Muslim." He said, don't forget, you know, Jesus was Jewish. I laugh at my Jewish friends when they complain about the manger scene at Christmas, you know, and separation and all that. I said, "I don't know what your complaint is. Everybody in the manger was Jewish. What is the problem?" They hadn't thought of that yet, so they will. So we're glad you're here this morning. Anybody here for the first time? Glad to see you if you are. Anybody, thank you for being here. Good. Good. We are more than glad to have you come back if you can. Those of you who come regularly, we can't overstate how much that we appreciate you being here. Never take it for granted that you're here. And those of us who help us keep this ministry going, we never take that for granted. Please understand that. When you have problems, let us know. We'll try to do the best we can to alleviate them in any manner. So this morning, if you turn to 1 Thessalonians in your Bibles, if you brought them, be at chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is where we will be, and we will read this partially and then expound on it as much as possible and see if we can edify the church. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you in the name of Christ Jesus on the shore of the ocean. I always like to read, that's where you'd like to preach. And we thank you for giving us this privilege, for the folks who let us use their facilities to preach in. How kind of them. They don't have to do this. It's simply gratuitous and a love ministry on their part. We thank you for Linda being back with us and for Bob being back with us and all the people who had operations and sicknesses coming back, for Ed's operation going well with his eye. You're so good to us. And the hundreds that we don't even know, we get the prayer letters that come in. Some people email, some people don't. And we reach thousands of people through our prayers, and we know that prayer is the answer, and we would ask you to hear our prayer and to hear the prayer of the good people in our nation, to turn our nation back to you, for it's our only hope, and the end is in sight, and we need to get back where we used to be. Sometimes it doesn't hurt to back up a little. Thank you for all you've done for us and doing through us, and remove me from this place this morning that you be heard. Anything I say that should be forgotten, please make it be, and all that should be remembered, please have it be. That the church be edified, your son be glorified, and the man nearest hell be saved. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. This, starting at chapter 5 in Thessalonians, we spoke in chapter 4 a week or two ago concerning the rapture of the church. When the Bible was written, it had no chapter divisions, and so they were put in by the translator. Sometimes they were put in the wrong place, but this time they were put in exactly right. For in chapter 4, Paul has been talking about the rapture of the church, how the Lord is coming and is going to take the church out of here, and those who have trusted him will be taken away from the judgment to come. Then he switches over in chapter 5 to the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is not a 24-hour day. It is, as we say, this is the day of technology. a long period of time during which technology is running things. So this is the day of season, the season of growing crops. This is the day of harvesting. That type day is talking about here. So don't get confused between the day of the Lord and the day of Christ. The day of Christ is the day that the rapture comes, when the Christians are taken up. And as he said in chapter 4, we will meet him in the air. We'll be taken out of all this. And then all what comes in Revelation 16, 17, in that area, the bowl and vile judgments is going to unleash on this world, and it's not going to be a place to be. So Paul is telling people what to do and how to act in light of this happening. Please understand, Paul taught the imminency of Christ's return. That is, he can return at any minute, and he can. And you'll hear, see people looking for signs of this and signs of that. There are no signs to the rapture of the church. There are signs of the kingdom. Why we get excited and why we talk about it a great deal is because it's about to happen. We always say when you go to Walmart and you see the Christmas trees and the lights up and the toys out and Santa Claus standing there and getting ready to greet the kiddies, you say, and it's September. And you say, well, Christmas is coming. No, Thanksgiving's coming. And we know this here. We see the signs of the kingdom being set up, but the rapture of the church is 7 years before the kingdom comes. And we're seeing signs of the kingdom, so we know the rapture of the church right around the corner. We don't know the time of the hour, but you don't have to be the smartest Indian in the tribe to put your ear to the ground, hear the thundering of hoofbeats, and know the buffaloes are right over the hill. And we have been given enough warning, and we're given enough signs, and God always warns his people when disaster is coming. He sent an angel to tell Lot, get out of here. Okay? Don't get in the parade there with the pink ribbons. Get out of here. It's going to happen. And they had to pull Lot out of there. But he told him. He told Noah, got a job for you to do. Some bad news is coming, my boy. And he took him out of there. He took Enoch out of here. And when he's telling Christians today, and you will hear the good gospel preachers, those who know the Bible, you will hear them on the radio and television not talking about you getting a new house and a new car. The good ones will be telling you to get ready to go and to pack your bags. And if you don't watch Jack Van Impey sometime during the week, find him on your television set and watch him. And if you don't watch Hal Lindsey, the intelligence briefing, find him and watch him. And he'll give you the news and in detailed report. This isn't covered in a couple of sermons. This is a lifetime of study. And those of us who study this for a lifetime and know it, that's why we jump around, do cartwheels, and not too worried about anything, because we ain't going to be here long and know it. I looked the other day. There's no expiration date on my birth certificate. I was glad to see that. So we start with verse 4. Said, let's just go to top of 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So evidently we read from this, and we know, and we see in the distance and hear the hoofbeats of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and we see what's happening in the Far East, and we see that this war we are in now hasn't even begun. This thing's going to lead to Armageddon, my friend. And as it keeps going and as it keeps building, somebody's going to have to make a peace pact or there's going to be a world war. So they will. They'll get together and it'll be a false peace that will come upon them. But when they start making these peace pacts, I get not nervous. I get all happy and all because I'm going to see some people I like a lot. Because when they're crying, peace, peace, no more war and all, you be real careful because all this is about to take place. And at this time, the church will be gone. We don't have to worry about it, but we do want you to know how close things are by what he's warning Christians even to do. He said, but ye, brethren, that's us. Paul was from the south. Sometimes he'll say y'all. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You see, we're children of light. It goes on to say we don't live in darkness. Those of us who believe and understand the scriptures, we aren't surprised by what God does. We're not surprised that Russia broke up. We won't be surprised when they come down on Israel. We won't be surprised when any of this happens because we've already read what was going to happen. People say, I wonder what's going to happen to Russia. They aren't a power anymore. You kid yourself. They got their munitions manufacturing going night and day, 24 hours a day. The largest part of their budget is going to build nuclear submarines and more nuclear bombs. And man has yet to build a weapon he did not use in war. Hadn't happened yet. And you say, well, you know, we kind of had peace with them, and you didn't have peace with them. They're more dangerous now than they ever been. Russia is the bear, and a hungry bear is a dangerous thing to fool with. Now they're out of money. They don't know what to do. The Russian army hadn't been paid in 4 or 5 months. There's turmoil over there. When they get really desperate for money, they'll come down on the south, as Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39 wrote. And my daddy wrote a book about those chapters one time called Our Inevitable War with Russia. People were saying, where's Russia at the time? Didn't even know. And we read these things, and those who understand these things pass it on to you because we want you to know those things. Understand, Russia's going to come down on Israel. And the Bible says they're going to come to take a spoil. In fact, it asked a rhetorical question, a question that doesn't need answer. It answers itself. Have you come to take a spoil? And for years, we used to try to figure out what the spoil was in Israel. And nothing ever saying. The only thing of any value there was the Dead Sea. Now, it is very valuable. The minerals in the Dead Sea alone are worth more than the accumulated income of 5 European countries. There's a lot of money in European. Now we find out with the oil crises and the Muslims, they're coming to take a spoil, all right, and God has spelled it out for us. Just move the S&P. They're coming for the oil. Please understand that all the land that Israel owns is not measured by the borders on the map today. The land promised to Israel goes all the way to the Euphrates through Baghdad, and they own all the oil over there in God's eyes. And when Russia comes, they're coming for that oil because they need it and will go broke without it. They need a warm water port, and they don't have one of those. And they are coming. Get ready for it. Hopefully, we'll be out of here. There's a debate among theologians as to whether that portion of the war happens before or after the rapture. It won't involve you, so you don't have to worry about it. But it's coming, and it's coming soon. We're not in darkness. God has told us exactly what's going to happen if you read the book. I'm talking to Sam last night there. I said, Sam, you talk to people about the rapture. What do you think about the Lord coming? They have no answer. They don't care. I said, I believe the problem with America is ignorance and apathy. And Sam said, I don't know and I don't care. I said, well, okay. How did Earnhardt do this week? Maybe you care. Now, Sam's my buddy. I can pick on him. Extremely interested in what we're talking about today. But you see, you understand the average man on the street has no idea what I try to teach you here. The average preacher in the average church in America doesn't preach this. First of all, he doesn't understand it. Second, he never read it. And third, he doesn't believe it. So we're sitting here dumbfounded waiting for what happens next. And we've got into a society, and our whole society has become a what happens next society. Okay, that happened last week. What happens next? 9-1-1, 3,000 people killed. Worse attack than that on Hawaii. And by next Tuesday, people are saying, yeah, well, okay, what happens next? I forgot that. And it's a buildup, as we teach you, it's a buildup in getting a mindset that when the rapture of the church comes and we're gone, by 30 days after that, Ted Koppel, if he's still with us and alive, will be saying the aliens got them, what's next? Believe me, they'll pass it off as almost nothing taking place. The world will go right on, blindly chasing whatever it is they're chasing. Mark my words, if you hear, read them, I'll be gone. Ye are the children of light and children of the day. You see, when God said, I'm light, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. We are children of light. We have knowledge as to what's going to happen. We can't tell the future, only God can. But he tells us what's going to happen. And if you'll read the book and study and understand, and thank you for coming to church, make yourself free to come to Bible study on Monday's night. We're studying eschatology, by the way. That's a big word for the last things that are going to happen. And we take you through step by step and show you a timeline, and we'll blow your mind with things you've had on the kitchen table all your life nobody ever explained to you. And we show you what's coming to pass and what's going to come to pass. And you say, I had one lady there, I just love her to this, she's so precious. She said, I can't keep up with this, but I don't care, I'm going to be gone. I said, well, that's true. It was a bad attitude. See, the reason we teach you this is so you can teach your loved ones and your children and your husband and your wife. And you can tell other people that it's about over and you better make a decision. And by the way, no decision is a decision. And it's an important thing in the motivation for the rapture of the church teaching. And what we try to teach you in these perilous times and end times is to get yourself and get everybody you know ready, because it's about over. And he said, well, I don't go down there because Beebe is negative. I'm the most positive man in the world. I'm leaving out of here. I believe God said what he meant what he said. I'll stick with that until he tells me different. So, well, I just don't hear from God. You ain't going to hear from him. You already wrote your 27 letters. You hadn't read them yet. You got to find out. And that's why people who know God are at peace. We're already at peace. I don't need a peace conference. I don't need a peace treaty. I'm already at peace. I'm at peace with God. When I got at peace with God, then I got peace from God. As a result of that, now I have the peace of God, and I'm really hard to rattle. Because I'm 68 years old and get to go home soon. That doesn't scare you. I've never been scared to go home in my life. Of all the places I've ever been and all the fights I've ever seen and all the things I wish I hadn't have done, I was never scared to go home after all that. I was welcome at home. I'd be taken care of at home. I was protected at home, and my father was at home. And that's just in the physical. And on the spiritual realm, I know the same thing. I'm always welcome at home. I'll always be taken care of at home. I'll be protected at home. I'll be loved at home. And my father in heaven said, I'm going to call you home soon, son. Got a few more things for you to do. Some of them people are real dumb you talk to. I'm going to leave you there for a little while. I said, well, thank you. I asked him, I said, well, how'd you start this church? Ed Tindall back there met me in the parking lot. Said, if I can get four or five people together, can we, will you tell us about Jesus and explain the Bible to us? Weren't you a preacher? I said, aren't you a preacher? I said, yeah, I am. And I'll be glad to do that. Get them together. And we got two or three together, and we're over at the Boulevard Grill back there. Connie and them let us use the back of the bar there. And then Water Dog went to work with H. Lee, and Water Dog wasn't interested in Bible study. He got saved afterwards, and I'm glad he did. But he was interested in getting more people over here because his job depended on people. He's a very good promoter. And so he came to me and said, look, you're getting crowds of 7 or 8 people now. You need to move over to the pavilion. I said, we do, don't we? Be on the ocean front. I've already talked to H. Lee about it. He said he'll give you 10 minutes any Sunday. And I said, okay, give me 10 minutes. So we got 10 minutes, and we had a pretty good crowd, and it came to be building, and then actually got to liking us. And his mother got sick. I didn't even know the man. And went up to him and said, I understand your mother's ill. I said, yes. So where is she? He told me. So what's wrong with her? I said, I'm going to pray for her. And he looked at me. I said, thank you. Last heard of it. See? Next Sunday, he's over here and said, give it man all the time he wants. So we started. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm. He got the message. He got the message. And the man has let us use his place of business. The priest, because I'm 68 years old and get to go home soon. That doesn't scare you. I've never been scared to go home in my life. Of all the places I've ever been and all the fights I've ever seen and all the things I wish I hadn't have done, I was never scared to go home after all that. I was welcome at home. I'd be taken care of at home. I was protected at home, and my father was at home. And that's just in the physical. And on the spiritual realm, I know the same thing. I'm always welcome home. I'll always be taken care of at home. I'll be protected at home. I'll be loved at home. And my Father in heaven said, I'm going to call you home soon, son. Got a few more things for you to do. Some of them people are real dumb you talk to. I'm going to leave you there for a little while. And I said, well, thank you. I asked him, I said, well, how'd you start this church? Ed Tindall back there met me in the parking lot. Said, if I can get four or five people together, can we, will you tell us about Jesus and explain the Bible to us? Weren't you a preacher? I said, aren't you a preacher? I said, yeah, I am. And I'll be glad to do that. Get them together. And we got two or three together, and we're over at the Boulevard Grill back there. Connie and them let us use the back of the bar there. And then Water Dog went to work with H. Lee, and Water Dog wasn't interested in Bible study. He got saved afterwards, and I'm glad he did. But he was interested in getting more people over here because his job depended on people. And he's a very good promoter. And so he came to me and said, look, you're getting crowds of 7 or 8 people now. You need to move over to the pavilion. I said, we do, don't we? Be on the ocean front. I've already talked to H. Lee about it. He said he'll give you 10 minutes any Sunday. And I said, okay, give me 10 minutes. So we got 10 minutes, and we had a pretty good crowd. They came to be building, and then actually got to liking us. And his mother got sick. I didn't even know the man. And went up to him and said, I understand your mother's ill. I said, yes, so where is she? He told me, so what's wrong with her? I said, I'm going to pray for her. And he looked at me. I said, thank you. Last heard of it. See? Next Sunday, he's over here and said, give it man all the time he wants. So we started. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm. He got the message. He got the message. And the man has let us use his place of business to preach the gospel for 6 years and charged us a quarter. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Yeah. Yeah, and his wife's right back there, pretty girl in the blue T-shirt, and she's right in the middle of it. Yeah, and she came to church when she didn't have to. We were all glad of that. Pam would show up just to listen. And I said, all right, we're going to tell you the truth. We're going to make you children of light. You're not going to be in darkness. You're not going to be scared. You don't have to be scared of death. And I meet so many people who are supposed to already be Christians who are scared of dying. I said, you got to be kidding. Well, Book of Revelation just scares me to death. Why? I'm not going to be here. Well, dying is just, you know, so final. For who? It's the starting line. What do you mean it's final? You didn't understand. The Lord Jesus Christ came to defeat sin and to defeat death. The man of the mortuary there, Alan Lee, I love him. We're good buddies. He hates when I tell this. There's no reason to have a $40,000 funeral. Put me in a pine box, find a hole, and let it go.
Is found. Unfurl the flags for flaring. Let fun and frolic freely flow. Former failures are forgotten, and forgiveness, friends, forgiveness forms the foundation for future fellowship.
To call upon his name. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love to tell the world he reigns. I'm gonna sing it, shout it, don't care who knows about it. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love the Lord.
I can still remember exactly how it felt. The night I walked the aisle there at the altar I knelt. The tears of repentance rolling down my face. I learned firsthand about God's amazing grace. Head over heels is all I can say about the way I fell in love, and I'm still in love today.
I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love to call upon his name. Love the tale of the world he reigns. I'm gonna sing it, shout it. Don't care who knows about it. I love the Lord, I love the Lord, I love the Lord.
I could talk about him, I could sing his praise. Morning, noon, and night, 24 hours a day. I can't keep silent, it's burning in my soul. 'Cause I've been saved and I want the world to know. And every day I love him more. I've got to testify now more than I ever have before.
I love the Lord, I love the Lord.
I love to
call upon his name.
Love to tell
the world he reigns.
I'm gonna
sing it, shout it. Don't care who knows about it. I love the Lord, I love the Lord, I love the Lord.
Light of the day. I'm sure you start to hear their voices when a nation starts to wake. I wonder, do you hear their worries? Do you hear their hopes and fears? Have the things that people ask for really changed much through the years? For I was praying in that number, one voice amid the roar of many millions who were praying, like millions gone before. When somehow you heard a whisper, a desperate call from me to you. I don't know why, but you were listening, and your answer made it through. Lord, I believe you're there and listening to our hopes and dreams and cares. And I'm amazed when I look back and I see all those answered prayers. There must have been a million pleas from folks down on their bended knees. Coming to my rescue again and again. I don't know how you heard one voice, but you did. All the turmoil and confusion, all the desperate cries for help, I know you're busy up in heaven, so I keep things to myself. And when my load is grown so heavy, friends may lift my name to you. And when they pray, I soon discover that you're listening to them too. Lord, I believe you're there and listening to our hopes and dreams and cares. And I'm amazed when I look back and I see all those answered prayers. There must have been a million pleas from folks down on their bended knees, but you keep coming. I don't know how you heard one voice, but you did. And I want to thank you, but I don't know where to begin. 'Cause you keep coming to my rescue over and over again. I don't know how you heard one voice, but you did. You did. Somehow you did.
I return to the scene when my mom would stand in the church and she'd sing. Her body was timid, her voice had grown frail, but I'm sure in heaven it rang like a bell. Who she sang to, it was easy to tell. For Mama was singing to Jesus. Mama sang Jesus a song. Tears filled her eyes, and I wonder if the angels were singing along. The sweet Holy Spirit descended. How I'd like to go back again to when Mama was singing to Jesus and everyone else listened in. Have gone by since my mother went home, but not before she'd shown the way to God's throne. With a song on her lips, she returned to the Lord. She was still singing when she reached the shore. I'm sure Jesus said, I've heard that voice before. For Mama was singing to Jesus. Mama sang Jesus a song. Tears filled her eyes, and I wonder if the angels were singing along. The sweet Holy Spirit descended. How I'd like to go back again to when Mama was singing to Jesus and everyone else listened in. When Mama was singing to Jesus and everyone else listened in.
And doubt fills my mind. I lose the assurance that salvation is mine, because Satan reminds me of days I left behind. But I look deep into the scripture, and that's where I find Jesus buried my past in the middle of God's nowhere, is where it was cast in His kingdom. It's tomorrow, not our yet.
against you and life gets you down. The sins of your old life just keep hanging around. Oh, but don't give up praying or standing your ground, 'cause in the midst of my own battles, that's where I found Jesus' Spirit.
If you ask me,
I'll tell you.
slow me down. I'm walking on by faith and not by sight, and I'm traveling light. I've carried around heartaches, I've carried around fears, I've carried around grief, disappointment and tears. The load has been heavy, the road has been long, but Jesus took my burden and I'm singing a song. Singing a song, I'm traveling light on this journey I'm on. Don't need any baggage, cause I'm going home. The weight of this world will only slow me down. I'm walking on by faith and not by sight, and I'm traveling light. Oh, travel on, boys.
Troubles that I haven't seen yet. My vision's been dimmed by pain and regret.
Mistakes of my past have only brought me shame.
But since I met the Savior, I am not the same.
No,
I'm not the same. I'm traveling light on this journey I'm on. Don't need any baggage, cause I'm going home. The weight of this world will only slow me.
Sorrow and fear,
I've unloaded failure, guilt and despair. I've laid down my burden and my steps on the light.
I'll never look back because my future looks bright.
Well, I'm
traveling light on this journey I'm on. Don't need any baggage, cause I'm going home. The weight of this world will only slow me down.
Thank you for singing that beautiful song. There's a lady here who lost her husband Father's Day. He had been sick for a long time. They'd been married a long, long time. And she'll enjoy that song knowing where he is this morning. I had a wife pass away. I had one run away, for instance. But I had one pass away. Little old man came to me while I was down to altar trying to get myself together. I just felt a little old bony hand on my shoulder, and then I didn't look. I knew who it was. And he said, "Preacher, ain't nothing lost if you know where it is." And I said, "I'll remember that the rest of my life. Nothing lost if you know where it is." So that was good, and I'm glad my wife requested that song. I'm sure it was you who did that. It wasn't. It was somebody else. That's one of your favorites, isn't it? Someone came this morning. They had to leave early. That's excuse 18, isn't it? I got to leave her. And they're good folks from Raleigh. And they brought several Bibles today, just three. You're welcome to take one. And next week, they're bringing a bunch of them. They said that they'd bring a box of them. So if you don't have a Bible, and this is a New International Version, which is very easy to read. And if you don't have one, you feel free to take one. And if we run out, we'll feel free to buy you one, whatever. And we'll get you one. We're glad to see Linda back. I was going to ask you to say a few more words. That's the shortest you ever. I know that. So Linda ain't got one leg. Maybe you can